Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. This is Jim West with Carolina Varsity Radio. Tonight we're going to talk a little bit about week one. Got with me Fred Gailey. Fred is a senior correspondent for Carolina Varsity. Fred, how are you doing today?
I'm doing all right, Jim. Survived the eclipse, so I can't complain.
Total eclipse of the heart. I think that was a song back in the early 80s, if I remember right.
It was.
Got Derek Miller is going to be calling in hopefully before too long. Derek is long associated with Charlotte Catholic. Catholic had a really good game this week. Defeated Charlotte Christian 19-14. And Fred, you know, we always give Derek quite a hard time about going to a school, one of the parochial schools in North Carolina, only three of them that are part of the association. Fred, this is a confession time for you. You got a second?
Sure, go ahead.
I grew up Methodist, and first time I ever had any brush with the law was on a Methodist outing. I was on a, hey, this is a true story. This is a true story. This goes back to 1986, and this is over in New London, right close to North Stanley. And I was on a hayride. This was the New London United Methodist Church, and all of a sudden we got a blue light special. And I was thinking, oh no, this is interesting. We were pulled over for like about 20 or 30 minutes. I mean, I forgot exactly what they pulled us over for, but I'll tell you what, it kind of got me a little bit nervous. And I always think about Derek for some reason whenever anybody kids him about Charlotte Catholic. You know, someone always have to say that they recruit or something like that, and I always have to remember about that. My first brush of the law was with the Methodists at the on a hayride of all things. Fred, interesting week this week to say the least. What do you think?
Yeah, it was fantastic opening week. I had the chance to go to three games and about wore myself out, but I saw some good football, and I'm looking forward to a good season.
Same here. I want to go ahead and just tackle the 1A real quick. I'm going to read some scores here. I'm going to read five scores at a time. You tell me if any of these scores surprised you. Number one,
okay.
Carrboro beats Plymouth 49-6. Plymouth was number 11. Eatonton Holmes, 42, First Flight 16. Murphy, number 3, beats Pisgah 30-13. Pisgah was ranked, I believe, 15 in the two-way poll. North Rowan, 42, Salisbury 15. Mount Airy 28, Starmount 7. Any of those scores kind of surprise you at all?
Not particularly. I mean, I would have liked to have seen Plymouth and Tarboro be a better game. However, it's Tarboro, and I kind of expected them to have way too much. That might be the biggest. That's not even a surprise. I thought Pisgah and Murphy might be a little bit closer. That'd probably be the biggest surprise of the bunch. I actually liked Murphy in that game, but I thought Pisgah might be able to hold it to a one-score game. I didn't think it would be a 17-point game. Don't know how it went down. I wasn't there. But that's probably the biggest surprise of the bunch, but no real shockers or anything.
Same here. Number 6, Mountain Island Charter beats Franklin Christian 48-6. West Montgomery beats Jordan Matthews 38-7. Number 15, East Wilkes, 36. Number 8, East Surrey, 20. Number 9, Mitchell, 21. Irwin, 14. And Cherokee, number 10, scored 36 points against North Buncombe. They only scored 10. I think that East Wilkes, East Surrey game may have gotten your interest. What do you think?
That was a big surprise to me. And if I have it right, that was at East Surrey. I favored East Surrey in the game. Obviously, I was wrong, and it sounds like they handled them fairly well. So that is definitely a surprise to me, and I think it'll be reflected in the next rankings.
I agree. I totally agree with you on that. I think the next rankings will come out sometime tomorrow. We do wait for those who don't know. There's always some games on that are played on Monday, and we try to wait until everybody plays and not try to jump the gun and, you know, release our polls before all the teams have played. Going down the next list here, number 12, North Stanley, 39, East Rowan, 25. Tuscola, 21. Tuscola is a 3A school. They score 21, number 13, Swing, 14. Number 14, Southside, 26, Aiden Griffin, 0. Number 6, Thomas Jefferson, 34, Carolina Wildcats, 8. And number 17, East Carteret, 28, Washington, 27. Any surprises with those scores?
Well, East Carteret, Washington was mighty close. I wouldn't say there was any surprises. And as far as the North Stanley game, I'll just tell you I told you so, Jim.
You told me so. I also thought it was going to be a close game. I thought East Rowan would pull it out, and I was wrong. Tell you the one that's kind of scored that kind of surprised me. I thought Aiden Griffin would have done a little bit better. They got skunked. They lost to Southside 26-0. That got me a little bit surprised.
Yeah, there's a little surprise there. I thought Aiden Griffin would at least score, but I've been hearing from people that know better than me that Southside is definitely strong this year.
Yeah, I know. I know Daniel Burleson is very big on the South Side. And they might be the best small 1A team in the East this year.
That's what he told me.
Yeah, I think he's got it right. Those guys in Chocolatey might be the real deal. Going down the list, number 18, Polk County, 30, Chase, 14. Number 19, Lakewood, 22, Pender, 0. And here's a score. I will go ahead and stop on this. Nash Central, 55. Number 20, North Edgecombe, 6. Fred, I wasn't surprised Nash Central won it, but I was surprised it was a running clock. How about you?
I can't say I expected a running clock, but then the more I thought about it afterwards, and maybe I didn't think about it enough ahead of time, Nash Central was a pretty strong team last year.
If you're the
eighth
floor,
it didn't totally surprise me. Who's that?
I'm sorry, I think we had some static on here. Derek is going to be on the line in just a little bit. Apologize for that. We're going to go ahead and finish that up. 21, Robinsonville didn't play. West Stokes, 35. Number 22, South Stokes, 14. I'm not surprised by that one, but here's the score that kind of surprised me. Bertie, 34. Number 23, Riverside Martin, 20. Were you surprised by that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I did not see that coming at all.
I have to give Grantley Mazzell a shout-out. He probably gives me a shout-out. I picked him number 4 in their conference, and he told me he used that as bulletin board material, so all these boys in Windsor probably got my name with a bullseye around them and probably use it as target practice. But that's fine. I thank the world of Grantley. Number 24, North Duplin, 46, West Columbus, 12, and then Bessemer City, 38, Cherryville, 7. Didn't see any – those scores didn't surprise me. How about you?
No, they didn't, and I think you're the one that's been telling me that North Duplin's going to be strong, so no surprises there.
I think it's going to be between North Duplin and Lakewood in that Carolina 1A conference. I'm just looking around at the 1A real quick. Here's a score that kind of surprised me. Avery County, 56. Ashe County, 35. Ashe County's a two-way school. Avery's a struggling 1A school. A couple years ago, I think Ashe County would probably beat them by about a 42-45-point margin. That game kind of surprised me. How about you?
Well, yeah, it's a surprise. I would have to – and I don't know, not being there and not talking to anybody that was there. Either one of those teams is really up and the other one's really down, or, is Avery really up and Ash down? I don't know. But, yeah, it's a surprise.
Looking down a little bit, Midway 14, Union 0. Midway's a two-way school. Union's it's a 1A school. That doesn't really surprise me. Trying to look down here if there's anything that got my fancy. Northside Jacksonville, 48, Jones Senior, 0. That doesn't surprise me.
Not at all.
Albemarle beats Thomasville 13-6. That surprised me. How about you?
I'd say that's a surprise, but sometimes it's hard not to think of Thomasville as a power, but the truth is they're really not anymore.
They're not. You're exactly right. Veragrass Charter, how about them? First game since I think they may have played a JV game back in the early 70s, the first varsity game in forever. They beat Lejeune 38-8, and that game kind of surprised me. I thought it would be pretty much an even game. Lejeune scored all of 14 points last year. But Beargrass Charter, Doug Pascal is the is the coach there, or Brian Pascal. He used to be the coach at Conley and Roanoke High School and a couple other places. He's a head coach at Beargrass Charter. And here's a score that surprised me. Community School of Davison, 32, Northmore, 13. I did not see that happen.
Not by that margin. I'm not completely surprised, but Northmore has struggled a bit the last few years. But that's one of those games you think is going to be a one-score, two-score game. I guess it was 19 points. That's a little bit bigger than I would think.
You got that right. This is Jim West, and with me is Fred Gailey, and I'm going to throw Derek Miller on. Derek, are you with us?
I am with you.
Derek, you know what? I got a message on Facebook today. Did you know 4 years ago today is when we became Facebook friends? Did you know that?
You know, they should make a national holiday out of that, Jim.
They had a national
holiday.
Yeah, they had a
national holiday. If they have a national like pizza day and national pineapples day and national beer day, I think they should have a national holiday for that.
I agree. I totally agree, Derek.
I heard you guys talking about Thomasville and Albemarle. That was probably the most shocking score of the night for me in 1A, you know, just to be totally honest and transparent with you. I thought Thomasville was going to destroy them. I didn't think it was going to be a close game. And I don't know if this is a game, and maybe, Jim, you had the same feeling. I don't know if it's Thomasville is that bad or Albemarle is that improved.
I think it's a combination.
Because last
year,
that game really wasn't competitive.
No, it was a running clock last year. I think last year Albemarle had about five or six running clocks put on them, and that was one of them. I think Thomasville is not as strong as last year, and I also think Albemarle's got better numbers. They may have had six or seven juniors and seniors last year, and now they have a lot of freshmen and sophomores. They're now sophomores and juniors, and they also have gotten some kids in the weight room, so that helps out a lot. Now,
a huge key right there is the weight room, but nobody talks about that.
Nobody wants to talk about that, but that's the key on that. Now, I'm going to go to T.Y. here. Derek, last week, Daniel asked me if I thought Freedom had any chance against Shelby, and I was being kind of a smarty pants about it, and I said no. At halftime, Freedom was leading Shelby 7-0, and it scared me. Found out it was a pick six, I believe, that got them ahead. Shelby wins that game 14-7. Were you shocked about that, or you think that's part of – I mean, I think obviously part of it is Jim Bob Bryant, but I was still kind of shocked. How about you?
I was pretty surprised as well. You know, obviously you can't write off Jim Bob Bryant. I think we were all kind of, you know, it's kind of in the wrong on that, but it is the first game of the season, and you have to wonder, you know, with Shelby just going through some first game problems, you know, getting up to game speed and stuff like that, you know, because no matter how good of a program you are, that first game's never really the type of game you want to play. It's always kind of sloppy. There's always a lot in there. But I think that's a huge credit to the Freedom defense. And Shelby had to score late in that game to take the lead. So I think that's a credit to Freedom's defense. My question is, you know, Freedom couldn't put up an offensive score. So is Shelby's defense that good, which I think it is, or does Freedom have offensive struggles and are they going to have to rely on their defense? Because if they're going 3-a and they're going up against teams like Monroe and Catholic and Crest and the like, they're going to need offense to score, and those are teams that have great defenses like Shelby, and Freedom already has that part. But do they have the offense? That was my question coming into that game, because it looks like they've got the defense to contend in 3A for sure, but you need an offense to do it as well. But I was very impressed with Freedom. I think that was a great first game for Jim Bob Bryan. Obviously, I think he would tell you he'd want to come out with a win, and I think anyone would. But I think that was as good as you could play against Shelby without winning the game.
I agree. I totally agree. And this next question is for Fred. Fred, you're casting your ballot this week. South Point beats Crest 22-14. South Point actually had a 22-0 lead. Yeah, on your ballot, you got Shelby at number one, you have South Point number one, or do you have somebody else at number one?
I kept Shelby at number one. They're still the four-time defending champion in 2A. They still won the ball game. I mean, I would say that South Point's win is a little more impressive, but right now I can't take Shelby out of number one. They've got another tough matchup to prove themselves this coming week with AC Reynolds, So, no, I kept Shelby at number one, and I'll tell you, I put South Point at number two.
Yeah,
and for me,
Jim,
I think, Jim, for me with Shelby, Shelby's my number one in 2A as well, and South Point's my number two. But, you know, looking at Shelby, though, I'm not docking them from the ranks of number one until they lose to another 2A team. Because they can lose to A.C. Reynolds, who is absolutely stinking loaded, but they're not coming down for number one unless they lose to a 2A team.
I'm going to tell you right now, A.C. Reynolds, I'm going to say they're the second best team in 3A right now. I think Dudley gets the number one.
They've got an offense that can play with the best of them, I think. I think they're serious title contenders in 3AA right now.
I agree. Going to through the 2A here, Wes Craven played Havelock. Wes Craven was number three, and they lost 41-14. I understand that was kind of a close game until Havelock pulled it out. And, Fred, I'm going to give you a chance to say I told you so. Mount Tabor versus North Davis, and I picked number four, North Davis, and you picked the 3A team, Mount Tabor. And you were right. So go ahead and tell me you told me so.
I get lucky every now and then. I just thought Mount Tabor had a little more. You know, it was a close game between what, at least to me, was a pretty well-thought-of 3A team and a highly-ranked 2A team. I don't really take much away from North Davidson for losing the game. So, yeah, I told you so, but, you know, it wasn't like it was a blowout.
Right. Now, number five, Northeastern, they played D.H. Conley, and Daniel was talking about it beforehand. He thought it was going to be about a 35-26 score, and he was joking around, said a lot of people were saying that these scores might be in the 50s, and found out those other people that were speculating were pretty right. Northeastern scores 55 points. D.H. Conley scores 49. That game went into overtime. That score surprised me. How about you, Derek?
It didn't surprise me at all, and I think Fred will agree with me on this, you know, and I think you will as well. Conley never seems to play any defense. I mean, this is another year where it looks like Conley's going to have a great offense, but struggle on defense. I mean, yes, Northeastern's good, and I'm not taking anything away from them, but you give up 55 points to Northeastern, I mean, that's just a sign that, again, they don't have the defense, in my opinion, right now to win a state championship. And if they did, they would win a state championship because their offense is as electric as any in the 3A East right now, 3AA East. I was pretty disappointed, honestly, with Conley losing like that, I think. But I am very impressed, though, by Northeastern. I think Northeastern proved themselves to be very good, and I think they're serious title contenders in 2A this year. They're up to number three in my 2A rankings right now, and I was very impressed by them and very underwhelmed by Conley.
Same here. Number six, Reidsville, 34, Rockingham County, 7. Now, this next game, Fred, this is one I'm going to ask you about. Cape Fear, 13, number 7, Clinton, 7. I thought Clinton did pretty good against a Cape Fear team that's probably top 5 in the 3A. I know that Cape Fear, their quarterback, there was some injury issues, possible, you know, not playing at full speed or not playing at all. Were you surprised by that score?
Yes, I was. I still haven't found out if JGV played or not. I'm not sure. I was trying to find out and couldn't. I did find out Clinton scored on a scoop and score, a defensive touchdown. But I was still very surprised by the score. I thought Cape Fear would win more along the lines of 24 or 28-7, honestly.
Now, Derek, here's a question I have for you. Hi, Brighton. Beats J.M. Robinson, 33-6. High Brighton, number 8 in our 2A poll. J.M. Robinson, I think, was like 17 in the 3A. I thought this game was going to be a pick 'em, and High Brighton just beat them to death. What did you think about that game?
I agree, and, you know, I haven't had a chance. I know an assistant coach over at J.M. Robinson haven't had a chance to ask him what happened, but I really thought that would be a closer game than it was. That was one of the disappointing kind of games. I thought J.M. Robinson not only could compete but could win that game, and I thought at the very least it'd be a close game, you know, maybe a final score late to win it. Maybe that's High Bright putting us on notice that they are serious title contenders after coming up short last year to South Point 3A. I mean, J.M. Robinson's a really good team with a ton of talent. I think J.M. Robinson's going to do very well this season, but that was a pretty surprising score, I'm not going to lie. Very impressive on High Brighton's part to win like that. And, you know, that's a J.M. Robinson team that could very well go into the second, third round of the 3A playoffs. So I think that's High Brighton putting us on notice that, hey, they're down there in 2AA and they're a force to be reckoned with. Right up there with North Davidson and South Point and possibly Shelby if they go 2AA.
I agree. I think you've got. I think you're point on that. Now, Fred, I got quite, the next three games here are blowouts here. Henderson 58, North Henderson 7, Wallace Rose Hill 50, James Kennan 0, East Duplin 78, Richland 7. What'd you think about that? That's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, I thought James Kennan would put up more of a fight, but shout out to Brian Castine. I'm sure he's hurting there. But, you know, that one was shocking to me. Anytime any team scores 78 points, I mean, I don't care who you're playing. If you score 78 points, you have an offense. And Richmond's is actually a bigger school. And I know they're not a football school, but those are all shocking. I mean, just blowout. Just not – honestly, to me, those aren't even fun games to watch.
They're not. And
I have to agree with Fred. I mean, 78-7, I mean – That does show that you do have an offense, and I don't know what kind of depth they have, but that also shows you have depth because you have guys who can score, and I don't know if that's more indicative, though, of how good East Duplin's offense is or how bad Richland's defense is and how bad Richland's is. And that's not trying to knock Richland's at all, but when you get 78 points put on you, that's a question you have to ask. Was it the team that put up the 78 points, or was it more the team that gave up the 78 points? And also, I thought James Kennan would put up more of a fight. That's a huge rivalry game down there in Sampson County, and that's typically a very close game. Brian Castine always talks about it being, you know, the biggest game of the year, and 50-0. I mean, that's a score I didn't expect to see.
Well, you know what? You guys remember who Darryl Waltrip is, right?
Yes.
Okay,
oh,
well,
sure.
Darryl Waltrip had a story. He says, you know, every so often there's a big accident. That's when you have to wake up Leroy. And anyway, he was talking about this trucker that was trying to get a job, and the trucker's interviewing this guy who's interviewing him says, okay, you're going down the mountains here. You're going 55 miles per hour, and all of a sudden your brakes start losing your brakes. What are you going to do? And the guy says, well, I'll try to pump them up and try to get some pressure in there and make it a little bit better. The guy says, well, that's a good answer, but you do that, it doesn't work. Now you're going 60 miles per hour, and you're going downhill. What are you going to try to do now? He said, well, I'll try to gear down a little bit and try to slow down. The guy says, well, great answer, but your transmission breaks. So now you're going 65 miles per hour. What are you going to do? He said, well, I'll try to find a runoff. And the guy says, well, that's a good answer, but let's say there's no runoffs, and now you're going 70 miles per hour. He said, well, I guess I'd probably try to slow, you know, curb down some my speed by hitting the side of the mountain. And he says, well, that's a good answer, but there's a bus that's parked out there with a bunch of people picnicking. What are you going to do then? He says, well, I guess I'd probably have to jump over the side of the road on the going oncoming traffic and try to jackknife and just try to slow down. And the guy says, well, that's a great answer, but let's say that there's people coming in now. What are you going to do? You're going 80 miles per hour. And he says, well, I guess I'd have to wake up Leroy. And the guy kind of looks at him and says, well, who's Leroy? And he says, well, that's my swamper. And he says, a swamper? He said, yeah, he's the guy they were talking about stop. He always checks my tires, makes sure they got the good pressure on them. And he says, well, what? And the guy says, well, what's Leroy going to do? And he says, well, nothing. And he says, well, why are you waking up Leroy? And the guy says, well, you know, Leroy's never seen an accident this big before. And that's kind of what I saw with these big old blowouts. 78-7, 50-0, that is some crazy times, and sometimes that's when you have to wake up Leroy, as Waltrip would say. Okay, going down a little bit, Mountain Heritage 30, Brevard 7, number 13, Hertford County 34, Gate 6. And, Derek, here's one I'm going to ask you about. Number 14, Mount Pleasant 35, Cox Mills 7. What do you think about that score?
I thought that was a pretty interesting score looking at Mount Pleasant. I think they're ranked – what are they ranked in our 2A poll? They're right there in the middle almost.
Right, 14.
14. I like them. I think Mount Pleasant's going to be good this year. Mike Jobs has been there for a number of years. I think he's closing in, or he just got his 100th win not too long ago. I think that they're going to be pretty good. You know, I've spoken to a couple of people. Coach Cox Mill, they just – Cox Mill is kind of like Richland. They're not a football school. They're a basketball school.
Exactly right. Next question here is for Fred. Stuart Kramer, 3A school, scores 40 points, number 17, Lincolnton, 7. I was surprised that Stuart Kramer could beat Lincolnton by 33 points. How about you?
I was stunned. I mean, honestly, I was stunned. I've had people tell me that Stuart Kramer is going to be up and coming. They draw from a good area and stuff like that, and to watch out for them. But I never, ever thought that they would just blow them out. And I found it to be very shocking. Not only that they would win by that margin, but they would hold them to 7 points. Kind of put me on notice to think about them going forward.
Same here. Now, Derek, number 18, Franklin, 33, Asheville, 8. What did you think about that score? Were you surprised?
I wasn't necessarily surprised because Asheville was not in my top 25. But you have to be because of Asheville's recent track record of success. I mean, they are pretty darn good when it comes to just playing football and being a program that doesn't rebuild, they reload. But it looks like they might be in a rebuilding year right now with that kind of score. I mean, but I think if you were to ask people up in the mountains, I would assume Franklin's pretty darn good. I think I believe I had them ranked in my 2A rankings. I can't remember where. I don't have them in front of me right now, but. I think this could be a year, you know, kind of a rebuilding year for Asheville, kind of a year where, you know, they're not as good as they have been in the past and they go through a little bit of a tough time like every program does here and there. But I was more surprised by on Franklin's side of it than Asheville. I think that says Franklin's going to be pretty damn good this year and they're a team to watch.
I agree. Hunter Huss beats Patton 49-20. I was a little bit surprised. I thought Patton would give a little bit more of a fight. Now, Fred, Bunn beats North Lenoir 31-30. I thought Bunn would win this game by a lot more than just 1 point. How about you?
I thought this game would be no contest. I don't know if North Lenoir is much better or Bunn just isn't as good as we were giving him credit for, but I really did think Bunn would win this game rather handily, so quite surprised, and obviously North Lenoir put up a heck of a fight.
Yeah, I agree. Looking down the list here, Newton Conover 41, Bunker Hill 0. Nothing to look at on that one. South Granville beats Person 7-0. I think that game was called at halftime due to lightning. East Bladen did not play. Here's one for you, Fred, since you're in your area. Southeast Guilford 27, High Point Andrews 0. This did not surprise me. I know it surprised some, but did not surprise me. How about you?
Did not surprise me. Southeast Guilford, a bigger school, dropping down from 4A to 3A. I know Derek and I saw them in a 7-on-7. They're changing offenses. Their coach came over off the Dudley staff. They're going to more of a spread look. And High Point Andrews changed coaches late in the season. So it really did not surprise me.
And the last one here, this is for Derek. Forestview, 3A school, beats number 25 East Lincoln 7-6. I honestly had this game about a pick 'em. I thought it'd be more than 13 points scored between the two teams. How about you?
What was that first score? I couldn't hear you. I had some static on my end. The first team.
Oh, Forestview beats East Lincoln 7-6.
You know, I don't know. I mean, Forestview's kind of a weird team. They've had a couple good seasons lately, but they've seemed to struggle as of late. They had Mo Neal and those boys a couple of years ago were really good. I'm just shocked there wasn't more scoring in this game. I think East Lincoln's going to miss Coach Bias a little more than they think, but that's still a surprising score. I thought there'd be more offense in that game. And I'm a defense guy, but I'm a defense guy to a point. I need a little bit of offense.
Right. I mean, 13-7, 17-13. I love those scores. We're going to go ahead and jump up to 3A here. We've got about 32 minutes left in the show. Number one, Dudley beats Carver 49-0. I don't see any shocking to that. How about you, Fred?
No, it was 49-0 at the half also. Nothing shocking there.
All right, Derek, here's one for you. This is the Holy War. Charlotte Catholic 19, Charlotte Christian 14. Charlotte Christian is a heck of a good team. What do you got to say about that game?
Well, that
not enough time left in the show.
Yeah. you're right, there isn't. But that game was just incredible. For those who don't know, Catholic was down three defensive starters, and and rotating 11 guys in the front seven with only one of those 11 ever having a snap of meaningful varsity football under their belt. So that was it was like we were going into a gladiator fight with two knife wounds, and Catholic pulls it out. And, I mean, they just played good. I mean, Catholic forced three red zone turnovers in the first half, including a fumble on the goal line that they recovered right before halftime, trailing 14-13, and then scored with 27 seconds left to take the lead. And I said this to a lot of people. I think I said it to Fred, and I'll say it on here. I said if Catholic beats Christian, no one's going to beat him in 3A. I'm sorry. No one in 3 small A is going to beat Catholic. And if they did that with three missing defenses, and I said if they were fully healthy and beat Christian, but they were missing three defensive starters, and they still beat them 19-14. I'm sorry, but I do not see a team, including Havelock or Southern Ash, that will beat Catholic in 3 small A right now, especially when they're healthy.
I'll tell you what, I saw Catholic play in that scrimmage, Carolina Varsity Jamboree, and Catholic looks bigger to me this year than I've seen them ever before. Is there any truth to that statement, or am I just blind, Derek?
There is at certain positions are definitely bigger, and I think there's a huge credit needs to go to Mike Hazel. He's a Catholic alum, but also the strength and conditioning coach at Catholic. This was his first year, and he's done a great job with them in the weight room, getting them in there, and really establishing a culture of the weight room is the most important thing we do, especially in the off season, because you can't get any better if you don't get any stronger. And he's done a great job with them. Several Mower Creek coaches made comments to me at the Scotland game that Catholic even looked bigger than they've ever seen, and that's just a credit to him and the football staff there at Catholic. They've done such a great job putting an emphasis finally on the weight room, and it's scary to think that Catholic won so many games and won a state title in 2015 without really a strength and conditioning program. Think that's a huge credit, and I think it's a big reason why they're able to pull out the win on Friday night against Christian.
Very good, Derek. I think you're right on point on that. Fred, number 3, A.C. Reynolds, 50. Southern Durham, ranked number 15 in the Carolina Varsity poll, 9. 50-9. I wasn't surprised A.C. Reynolds won that game. I wasn't surprised that they beat them decisively, but still, 50-9 is a statement win. What do you think?
I think it's a heck of a statement win. Southern Durham's a traditionally strong program. I myself thought they were going to be a little bit down on offense from where they've been the last few years, but they still have some big lines and some good skill position players. A.C. Reynolds just has to – everything I've heard about A.C. Reynolds has to be true. I haven't seen him, but to win 50-9, even with Southern Durham having to take a long ride to get there, that's quite impressive.
Yeah, so I know some people over in Fairview and some of their alums at A.C. Reynolds Rockets, they're very happy right now. We've already talked about Cape Fear beating Clinton 13-7. Fred, while I got you on here, Hillside 33, Newbern 0. You know, there were some people that said Hillside, you know, I bet them in my way too early, top 25. We had them at number 5 in this poll. A lot of people said Hillside's lucky to be in the top 25. I think that was kind of a statement win. What do you think?
Absolutely. I did not expect Hillside to make a 3-hour trip down to Newbern and shut them out. Newbern's a strong program. They've got Curling's back. You know, they might not be as strong as they've been in the past, but that score tells me that everything I've heard about Hillside having as much talent as they've ever had is true. It's true. Of course, they have a brutal schedule. Hillside has to play Scotland this week. So,
I think
Hillside's
and,
there.
Hillside's got a great, great schedule.
Hillside's first four games are Newbern, Scotland, Pinecrest, and Dudley. I mean,
well,
so they could lose. They're gonna lose some games probably, but they're a strong team.
You can say they never duck anybody, that's for sure. Number 6, Havelock, 41, West Craven, 14. We discussed that a little bit earlier on. This game I actually watched. Number 7, Southern Nash, 38, Green Hope, 28. Southern Nash, I got to give a shout-out to their head football coach, Coach Foster. He is a great man. I've talked to him before the game started, and he was worried about a couple of his players got kind of scraped up in a car, you know, fender bender, and both his kids are fine. Another one of his kids' sister, 21 years old, had a heart attack, and his mind wasn't on football. He was more concerned about his kids, which I love about this fella. And even with all that distraction, they played a very talented Green Hope team, 4A team, and at one time in the third quarter, they were up 31-0. When I left, with about 10 minutes left in the game, it was 38-7, and Green Hopes ended up scoring three touchdowns when the game wasn't in question. But I'm gonna say Havelock and Southern Nash might be the might meet in the 3A East Regional. The winner of that game would probably end up, like Derek said, playing Catholic. Now, number 8, Weddington, 28, Ardrick Hill, 0.
Let me rephrase that. They'd end up losing to Catholic.
Yeah, okay. I got you on that. Now, while I got you on here, Weddington beats Ardrick Hill, 28-0. Derek, were you surprised by that score?
I wasn't, and I've told a lot of people this off season that I think Ardrick Hill may be lucky to win 4 games this year, and I still believe that. And Weddington only added to that statement. They lost 15 starters, not counting any depth players that they rotated in off a state championship team a year ago. And you lose 15 starters, you figure you're going to take a step back, and that was a very close game a year ago, and that was a complete blowout, and it wasn't even close the entire game. I think that just adds more questions to, you know, Ardrick Hill. This is a school with 3,000 kids and you know, a great area, Charlotte, great fundraising, great boosters, but they just can't seem to put it together. But I think that's a sign that Weddington's not going to miss a beat off of that state championship. And I think that's going to be a huge game when Weddington and Catholic, and then when Weddington plays Monroe in that conference, that's going to be as big a game as there is in the Charlotte area.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Going down the list here, number 10, Eastern Guilford, 44, Northeast Guilford, 0. Fred, were you shocked that Eastern Guilford got a running clock on Northeast Guilford, and also Northeast didn't score?
Not particularly. Eastern Guilford is going to be strong again. I don't think they're quite as strong as last year, but they have more depth. They have more continuity, and they're just stronger. And Northeast, I'm hearing some things about some struggles with numbers, so I'm not particularly surprised by that at all.
Number 11, A.L. Brown beats Hopewell 56-0. Number 12, Monroe 36, Anson number 12. That game didn't surprise me. Now, Fred, Western Alamance 48, Southern Alamance 14. You saw that game. Western Alamance, they're good enough to be in the top 25, don't you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They've got a couple really special athletes, and quarterback Christian Daniels and receiver running back do everything, Jake Christman. And they've got a 5'8", 245-pound bowling ball playing running back and middle linebacker. He runs about a 4'8". Nobody really wants to hit him. And this game was the Christman and Analyst show. Jake Christman had a touchdown passing, a touchdown receiving, and a touchdown running the ball. He came in for one play at quarterback when Daniels went out after a face mask and threw a touchdown pass. And then Analyst, I think he touched the ball 6 times from the running back position for about 80 yards and 3 touchdowns. They're a strong team.
I think Christman, I can't believe that Division 1A school hasn't gobbled him up. He is the real deal. He's a great, great player. Number 14, Jacksonville beat Southwest Onslow 30-0. Jacksonville, I know, Fred, you're big on that team, and I think they proved you right on that one. Now, Derek, I got a question for you. I don't know if you know much about these two Mountain teams. Watauga was ranked 21. They played TC Rise, has been ranked 18. Watauga wins 35-34. What do you think about that, Derek? Derek, you there?
I'm here.
It looks like. Okay. Were you surprised about that 35-34 score?
Well, I couldn't hear the first team. Was it was Watauga, and then who was the other team?
T.C. Robertson.
T.C. Robertson. And Watauga won, what was it, 35-34,
yeah. 35-34?
That?
Yes.
I mean, T.C. Robertson's a pretty darn good team. I think this year I think they'll be good, but Watauga, they've had a good offense several years in a row, but they're much like I said with D.H. Conley. Their problem has been defense, and if they want to win a state championship or compete deep in the playoffs, they're going to have to find a defense. And in 3AA, when you're playing teams like Dudley and A.O. Brown and those boys, you're going to have a defense. So, and Weddington as well, Marvin Ridge. So I think, though, it's a good win for Watauga against a pretty solid team. And we're just going to have to wait and see, though, on both these teams. I think they're both good, but how good, I think we're going to have to wait and see. But it's a good early season win for Watauga, kind of show where they are.
Right. Going down the list here, Fred stepped out. Fred had some work commitments ago. Fred, thank you so much for joining us. Fred's a big contributor to Carolina Varsity. We've already talked about Southeast Guilford beating T.W. Andrews. Number 20, Lee County, 35, Northwood 0. Nothing really to be shocked on that. Orange beats Northern Nash 40-6. Nothing really to look at on that. Mount Tabor, we've already talked about them beating North Davidson 20-16. Now, Derek, Mooresville beats West Rowan. I've seen two different scores. I think it was either 27-3 or 29-3, but either way, it's a blowout. Did that surprise you?
It surprised me a lot. West Rowan's a program that we've seen over the years just rebuild or reload, not rebuild. And, you know, West Rowan, they're going to struggle this year. I was told by an assistant coach there that they were going to struggle this year. And, you know, that may be proof of it right there. They did not have the best numbers at the Huff Jamboree when they scrimmaged Catholic. And, you know, Mooresville's not going to be a great team this year, but they're going to be a solid team. They'll make the playoffs in 4A. They're in a tough conference there with Lake Norman and Mallard Creek and Vance and Huff. I mean, that's one of the brutal conferences, you know, that we were talking about on our preview show, these conferences that are brutal, and that's one of them. But just looking at that, I think that's a rivalry game. So you have to wonder, you know, are West Rowan's problems much bigger than we thought? Because that's typically a very close rivalry game.
Right, I totally agree with you. Now here, Derek, New Hanover beats J.H. Rose 62-21. Wow. I mean, New Hanover made a statement win.
They really did. That's, I think, more about New Hanover than it is about J.H. Rose. A lot of people said, you know, ever since J.H. Rose went to that title game in 2015, that was a great talent group, and they just haven't had the same level of talent since, and which is very understandable because that group of that was at J.H. Rose was averaging over 50 a game. They had Powell, who was a Clemson commit. I mean, they had some talent on that team. But I didn't think they would regress like this. But I think, again, it says more about New Hanover. I think New Hanover is a state title contender in 3AA. I think they're really, really good. And that's just as impressive as a win as you can get in 3AA in the 3AA East right now.
I agree. You're so right about that. That New Hanover team is, I think it's Earl Smith is their head coach. He's been around for a while.
A lot of people forget that New Hanover was in the East Regional Final against DeRose the year they went to the state championship. So
you're right. I forgot about that. You're exactly right.
They held Rose to 28 points and lost 28-14. So I mean this is a team that is not too far removed from a regional final and I think could be headed for another one this year because the 3AA East is wide open.
You're exactly right on that. Well, we've got 18 minutes left. We'll go ahead and tackle the 4A here. Number one, Wake Forest beats Millbrook 34-7. I understand Millbrook played a really good game, but Wake Forest has kind of wore them out. Wake Forest is the real deal, and I think they showed by beating a really good Millbrook team 34-7. Now, Derek, this next game was a battle between Mallard Creek and Scotland. Both of them were tied at second place in our poll. Mallard Creek beat Scotland 28-21 this past Thursday night. You were in that game. On your ballot this week, where do you have Mallard Creek and where do you have Scotland?
I've got Mallard Creek at roughly number two. I'm still working on my ballot because there's a few teams that I just don't know where to put them. But I'm putting Mallard Creek solid at number two and Scotland probably around number four or number five. You know, honestly, Scotland County put up a fight, but that game was not a 28-21 game. That was a 28-14 game. Scotland scored in garbage time on a Zamir White touchdown pass, and that game just stupefied me. And if Fred is still on the line, I know he's on his way to work, but it stupefied him too because if you think about it, they only gave Zamir White the ball 12 times, and they lost by 7, and you figure if you gave it to him 20-25 times, you might have won that game because he had over 300 total yards on just 12 touches. So, I mean, you know, I was very impressed by Scotland County overall, unimpressed by their coaching, and that's not a knock on any of the coaches at Scotland County. I just thought that they could have played that game better. But I think Scotland County is still a top five team in 3A. I was telling a lot of Scotland people, I said, hey, this will be the best team you see all year. So, you know, it'll only get – you'll get better because of this game. But I think Mallard Creek is a real deal. Their left tackle is 6'7", 350, and he can move, and he can just blow off the ball and blow guys off the ball. Jordan Davis is his name. He's going to go to probably start as a freshman at a Power 5 school. I truly believe he could start at any college in this country as a freshman right now. So they're going to be really good this year, though. They're going to be a team that I think can Mallard Creek can win the 4AA state championship, especially if Wake Forest goes 4A. I think they're going to be really good.
You know what? On my ballot, I had Mallard Creek at one. I had one at the preseason. Also, had Wake Forest two, Butler three, and I have Scotland at four. I think those are your four really.
Well, we're going to find out how good Butler is when they play Mallard Creek this Friday.
You're exactly right. I'll tell you right now, I think Butler might be a little bit under the eight ball. It's hard. It's going to be a disadvantage for them having not played anybody that week one. And Butler only has 10 games this year. They don't have 11th game, so that might hurt them. But we'll talk about Butler and Mallard Creek.
It might hurt them. It might hurt them in the early going, not being as crisp against Mallard Creek. But playing 10 games is going to help a little bit, because if you think about it, their players don't have that extra game, so they may not be as beat up going into the playoffs. That was the Catholic formula that Catholic used in 2015. They only played 10 regular season games. They were a lot more fresh going into the playoffs, ended up winning a state championship. Not saying Butler's going to win a state championship or anything like that, but playing 10 games is not the worst thing in the world, but you'd rather
right.
that second bye week not be in week one.
Right. I totally agree with you on that. Myers Park, I forgot the score on this. I think they beat Charlotte Country Day like 30-0 or 31-0.
31-0,
Charlotte Country Day just doesn't have the numbers.
I was at that game for the first half, and Myers Park is just too big. They have too many numbers. Country Day is just not what they once were. If that game was 5-6 years ago, I honestly think Country Day may have beaten them. That's how good those Country Day teams used to be, and now they're just it's a once-proud program that is going through some tough times right now. And Country Day has a bye week, and then they get Catholic off that bye week. So they've got two whammies. They've got another whammy coming at them, it looks like, in a couple of weeks at Country Day. But, you know, Myers Park is really good. Myers Park showed that they've got the offense. I mean, they were a little sloppy out of the gate, like most teams are week one, but they were able to get it together. Great defense. Their defense really impressed me, a great improvement. And a shout-out to their linebackers coach, Vince Campagna, who's a Charlotte Catholic alum and the grandson of Will Campagna, the legendary North Mech coach. So, you know, it was a statement win for Myers Park, but I think we're going to have to wait till they play Butler to see how good they really are, because we all said Myers Park was great last year, but 53-0 at Butler proved that otherwise.
You know, Campagna, it's interesting you say about Campagna. He was twice the head football coach at North Mech. He was twice the head coach at Albemarle. He was a coach at A.L. Brown. He was also the coach at Charlotte Catholic back in the day. And Campagna is a very good name in high school football in North Carolina. Now, Derek, here's the big game. I had West Mech winning this game. I thought it was going to be a good one. I thought West Mech was going to win this game, but I did not think it was going to be 42-19 over Vance. Wow, West Mech, they got to be the real deal. What do you think?
They really are. And you know, I was talking with some people in the first half when West Mech was up, I think 21 or 28-7. And I was saying, you know, is this more West Mech just playing Vance playing really bad, or West Mech playing really well? I think it was West Mech playing really well. West Mech's a real deal on offense. I mean, and they don't even have one of their best players. One of the Brown brothers is still out, but De'Ami Brown, number two, he is the real deal. He is a receiver going to Carolina. He is as good as they can. He is as good as they come. And West Mech's going to be the real deal if they can find a defense, a really good defense, because I think Vance has a lot of offense issues. Once they find a defense, they're going to be really hard to beat in 4A, 4AA, wherever they fall. They play Scotland in week six or week five, I believe. So we're going to see how good they really are when they play Scotland County. Because, you know, you're not going to stop Sevier and White. I don't think they're going to slow them down, but can they score on that Scotland County defense is going to be really key. But I really like West Mech. They moved up in my rankings. I believe I had them 6 or 7. I've got them at 4. So I really like them.
West Forsyth 42, Lake Norman 14. There were some people that were saying Lake Norman could win that game. I was not one of them. I thought West Forsyth was, I won't say about a 10-point favorite, but they ended up winning by 28 points. That was a pretty good statement win. What do you think?
That was a huge statement win for West Forsyth. I really think they're a very good football team, and I think Lake Norman's a very good football team. You know, week one's always hard to judge. Lake Norman could rip off 9 wins in a row. Who knows? But I think that's a huge win for West Forsyth against a very good, very well coached Lake Norman team. And I think it proved. I think West Forsyth's not only the favorite in the conference, but I think they've got to be one of the favorites in 4AA to contend with Mallard Creek out in the West.
Now, how about Richmond, 45, and Reagan, 24? Reagan was giving Richmond all they wanted for about a half, and Richmond looks like they kind of wore them down. Did that game shock you?
Not really. Richmond's got a good coaching staff, and you know, honestly, Reagan is not a team that defends the inside run very well, and I was told that at halftime, Richmond adjusted and just started pounding the ball in between the tackles, and Reagan could do nothing to stop them. And I said, you know what, that's exactly how Catholic beat Reagan 49-0 in the third round of the playoffs. They just pounded it inside, and they couldn't stop that inside run. And I think Richmond's, you know, they seem to have a lot of young talent, but I think they're going to be a force this year. May lose some games that, you know, you may not supposed to lose because of the youth they have on that team. But I think they're going to be pretty darn good. I think them in Scotland County is going to be one hell of a game this year at the end of the year. So we'll see. But I think that's a good win for Richmond, good start to the Brian Till era there. But for Reagan, you know, you got to look at your defense. You got to go, what's our problem? Because there's a lot of teams in their conference and in that area that you know, love to run the ball but won't do it. I mean, and they're one of those teams that's just in high school football, nobody wants to run the ball anymore. And that's why you see so many teams losing games when they're up by 2-3 touchdowns in the second half is because they refuse to run the ball or defend the run. So
right.
I think it's going to be very interesting to see how Reagan is this year coming off that loss. Do they rebound? Is this another down year for them? Or is Richmond County really that good? I tend to move towards the belief that Richmond County is that good, but we'll see. I mean, they've got the coaching staff to do it. It's just a matter of, will it come together in conference play? Because their conference is going to be pretty tough with 71st and Scotland and I think there's another team in there that
Pinecrest.
It can't come to mind. Pinecrest, yeah. Those four teams are going to be really tough in that conference.
Yeah.
That's one of the other conferences that I think is just very top heavy.
Yeah, I think that's a loaded conference. In my neck of the woods, Middle Creek beats Rocky Mount 33-15. Rocky Mount gave Middle Creek a pretty good game for about 2.5 quarters. I had a lot of people were getting upset with us that we didn't have Rocky Mount ranked in the top 25 in 3A, and I still think they're pretty close to the top 25, but I think they're still outside the top 25 in 3A at this point. Heritage got a running clock over Panther Creek, 43-0. I was talking to Jay Mike Blake, the sports editor over at the Raleigh News and Observer, and he thinks if there's one team in Wake County that can beat Wake Forest, it'd be Heritage. So we shall see. Now,
I've heard a lot about Heritage this year. So I mean, you know, they just seem to be bringing it all together. I don't know if they can beat Wake Forest again. This is Wake Forest runs that wing T. They will pound you inside with those leads, powers, and dives. And can Heritage stop the run? That's going to be the question, because a lot of teams don't want to play run defense anymore.
East Forsyth, Sanderson played Saturday. I talked to Fred about this game. East Forsyth won 14-9. Both teams didn't really play that great of a game. I think East Forsyth is a little bit down. I think Sanderson might have had the better talent, but just kind of came down a little bit. Just wasn't ready for that game. Now, Derek got 7 minutes left here. Harding 24, Huff 22. I understand that wasn't the best of games, although both teams were ranked. What have you been hearing?
I've been hearing the same thing, that game from one Mallard Creek assistant was one of the worst games he has ever seen. But give credit to Harding. I said last week on the show that this is a game they can win because of Huff's weak run defense and just the issues they seem to have on defense. And I'm not trying to exalt myself, but that's exactly what happened. And Harding doesn't have much of a defense either. They're going to have to figure out some issues there as well and depth issues. But, I mean, Kavarius Crouch is the real deal. He's the number one running back in the nation for the junior class right now, and he proved it last night. He did hurdle a guy at Huff, which is illegal in high school football, but still to be able to do that is pretty impressive. You know, just looking at Harding and where they are, they're going to get to 3-0. They play Westmac and Garinger, but then they go to Gaffney, South Carolina, and that's going to be their first test. We're going to see how good they really are at Gaffney. The week after that, they play Mallard Creek. So it's going to be we're going to find out how good they are later in the year. But it's a great start for them. It's the biggest win they've had in years, And this is a team that made the playoffs for the first time in 6 years last year. So I think Griner has that program going in the right direction. You know, hoping they can continue. I'm a big believer in Harding this year. Just their defense is keeping me from picking them to be truly a conference, truly a contender in 4A.
Very good. I agree with you on that, Derek. Looking down here, Pinecrest all over Laney. Pinecrest was number 15. They beat number 17 Laney 30-0. That I thought Pinecrest was better than Laney. I didn't have Laney in my top 25 ballots, and Pinecrest was just they're the real deal on that. Number 24 Page beats number 16 Davie County. I believe that was an overtime, if I remember right, 20-14.
It was Davie County. Davie had a 14-point lead in that game, and a buddy of mine was at that game, and he said Davie County dropped a wide-open touchdown pass in overtime. Tough loss for Davie County, opening a brand-new stadium there and coming up on the short end. But I think Page is going to be good this year. I don't think they're as good as the past 2 years, even if Gillespie had stayed. I don't think they'd be as good as they were the last 2 years. But I think that proves that they're going to be a good team this year. Davie County is a team I'm really high on. The War Eagles are as – one foot soldier calls them, and this is no offense meant, the War Chickens. Shout out to him. If we got him on this show would run till 2 a.m. He'd be talking about Catholics so much. But, I think Davie County is going to be really good this year, so I think it's a really, really good win for Page. Great start to the year for them.
Going to go ahead and do our lightning round here. We've got 4 minutes left. Cardinal Gibbons, 42, Athens Drive, 19. That game was actually pretty close until I think late in the third quarter when Cardinal Gibbons opened it up. Cardinal Gibbons was only up by about 3 points late in the third quarter. This game here, I won't talk too much about it, but it did surprise me. Clayton 35, Gardner 14. I saw the highlights on that. Clayton is a real deal, and they will be ranked in the 3A, at least on my ballot this coming week. Providence 23, number 21 East Meck 7. Providence, I think I might have had Providence underrated a little bit. How about you, Derek? What's your feeling about Providence?
I don't know. East Meck was not in my ballot, and after I saw them at the Olympic Jamboree, I could not rank them. Especially losing Kamal Howard to transfer. I mean, that was as big a loss as anyone can have. I think Providence is pretty good, but I think we have to look at East Meck as well, and are they really as good as we thought they were preseason? Because a lot of people had them ranked because of Kamal Howard, and with him being gone, where do they stand? I think they're going to struggle this year, but I think Providence is on the upswing. I think Brad Bowles has done a great job there, and I think they've got a great shot at being a competitive team in that conference this year after several years of being down.
You're exactly right. East Meck, sometimes just a player transfer here and there, it really mess up a program. Number 22, 71st, they beat Westover 21-0. Terry Sanford, 3A school, beats Fuquay Varina 35-19. I think I had them way overranked on my ballot, so I'm sure they'll drop out of the top 25. Last one in the games, number 25, Hoggard, beats Holly Springs 48-7. I'll tell you what, that Wilmington area is a pretty good little hotbed for high school football. Derek, we only have a couple minutes left. I just want to ask you, in maybe 60 seconds or less, what game were you going to go? What game, if you were in the Mecklenburg area, which game would you go to if you were not a Charlotte Catholic man?
If I was not working with Charlotte Catholic, I'd probably be a Mallard Creek Butler, no doubt about it. That's going to be a great game, two rivals, two great coaches, two great programs that have won multiple state championships over the past 7 years. I would be at that game, and I think it's a no-brainer. If I was not working with Charlotte Catholic, it'd be a no-brainer.
In my area, I'm going to go with Hillside and Scotland. I think that's going to be a good game. I think Scotland will win, but I will say this, Hillside is they play a lot of good defense, and I'm really looking forward to seeing how Zamir White, Zeus, I think is what he goes by on Twitter.
Zeus is his name.
I think he is the real deal.
That's his name on Twitter. He proved that against Mallard Creek.
Unbelievable, totally unbelievable. Well, guys, this is Derek. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This is Jim West
welcome.
With Carolina Varsity, and we've got Derek Miller. And For Fred Gehling, for Jim West, for Derek Miller, for Dale Ross, for Matt Morrow, for Daniel Burleson, Anthony Perkins, and the rest of the gang, thank you so much for listening to us on Carolina Varsity Radio. And we hope you have a great evening and hope you get to watch the high school football game this coming Friday. Take care now.